Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY.
A huge game as well at the John Smiths yesterday. And the Huddersfield Giants getting the job done against the Dragons. They are back in the mix. They shoot up to fifth place going the league ladder. But they're only a point away from being out of the top eight. It's madness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's how it is. We work with the bottom six teams, I guess, isn't it? How close they are. But yeah, Paul Anderson, pretty happy with that performance. Put a few more points on the board. He was a little bit, I guess, aggrieved at times. They created a lot more, and they was looking for him to, you know, score a few more points. But yeah, he'll be pretty happy. Catalans, again, they just struggle on the road, don't they? They just don't seem to show any interest whatsoever until, I guess, when the playoffs come around, as we all know what happened last year at Headingley and also too, against Huddersfield. But yeah, Paul will be happy that are back in the eights. Catalans are struggling, simple as that.
They are struggling on the road, Rich. They need to start winning on the road, otherwise they're going to struggle.
Well, they must be, alongside Warrington, the most disappointing sides so far this season in terms of expectation. I think we were all looking at Warrington and Catalans certainly to be in the mix for the top four, and at the moment, Catalans are, well, I guess they're not way off it, are they? Because they're only one win off levelling the number of points Salford have, but they aren't playing in the sense of a top four side at the moment. What they can do to sort that out, I'm not too sure right now, but as you said, they need to sort it out sooner rather than later, because if they get dragged into that middle eight with the away games there, it could be an interesting time. Could be a very interesting time.
If they get dragged into the middle eight, the problem's going to be for them. Mm. Because obviously, yes, everybody has to go to them once, but they're going to have to make, what, three, four trips back over here?
Yeah,
I think they're the big underachievers at the moment. I mean, Warrington, there's an element of transition there. But Catalan, apart from Todd Carney, they've had virtually everybody to choose from most weeks. There's not been a huge injury crisis. They've had a couple of players banned. But I just think we thought, on the basis of the fact that they were virtually 80 minutes from a grand final last year, that they were going to be the team that might break the monopoly. And they are struggling, you know, they're not playing consistently well.
But it's every season, isn't it? You know, on the road, they just seem to struggle, don't they? It's not, you know, when it's been one season and they're okay. It's every season they just seem to struggle on the road. And, well, at times they don't want to play.
Witness
can't win away from home.
Don't win on the road. They're not on their own, are they?
I agree totally. Witness can't win on the road, can they?
No.
They can't win away from home. Well, for whatever reason.
Big test for Wigan, because it's almost, is it a calendar year since they've won away when they go to Wakefield this week?
Rich, one of four live games. I should have said that as well as missing.
Taking over the world again.
Wakefield against Wigan on Thursday night, live here on Radio Yorkshire. It's Hull against Huddersfield on Friday night. And on Sunday, we're at a doubleheader at the Keepmoor. It's Doncaster against Bradford. It's Sheffield against Halifax. Big, big weekend of rugby league here on Radio Yorkshire. Make sure you're with us all the way. Rich will be in the studio on Sunday afternoon, taking you through all the big afternoon of sport as well.
And as much as you'd look at Wakefield and think, oh, Wigan going to Bellevue, you know, I'd worry more about Doncaster on Sunday against Bradford. Wakefield-Wigan, you know, fair enough. I think everyone knows what will happen. Hopefully not an embarrassing scoreline like the performance at Warrington. And I think if the team show effort, which was asked for last week, then, you know, fans will go away as happy as they can be. But Doncaster, without, was it going back to August now last year, without a win? And Bradford, well, you saw them yesterday, Mark. You told me they played really well against OKR.
Well, could have won. And we've seen that
them
game in a minute.
You know, we've seen them play well already this season, so that could be a very long afternoon for the Doncaster side.
I tell you what as well, Richard, reading James Webster, his comments today as well, as a Wakefield fan, many Wakefield fans, because he's saying there may not be any more games at Wakefield on a Sunday afternoon because of the short turnaround from playing on the Sunday, playing on the Thursday night, because by all accounts Thursday nights are here to stay. So you Wakefield fans, you may not see rugby league again on a Sunday afternoon. Well, he's on about complaining again and that there's not enough time for turnaround again.
I think when you break it down, I think he's got a valid point. We'll come on to that in a minute. I want to finish off by talking about Huddersfield, because at 38-14, Phil, great win for them, much needed win. I'm looking at the top six, maybe even the top eight, and I'm thinking Huddersfield are a team that can and will improve as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think, again, listening to Paul Anderson post-match, he's still not happy. And if you listen again to what Danny Brough was saying all through last year, he was concerned they hadn't put in a full 80-minute performance. Well, I'm not sure they have this year yet either. which is not to say they won't. But again, we talked about consistency at the top of the programme. So, you know, lose three, win four, lose three. They've now won, so they'll be looking to win at least the next two or three.
They've got Hull on Friday.
And then they've got Leeds on a Thursday night at home, which will be, you know, terrific game. They've now got Leeds in the cup as well, so they'll be playing each other twice in 3 weeks. So it's almost getting to the defining part of the season for Huddersfield, I think.
Okay. Can Huddersfield make the fourth score? I know you were pre-season, you didn't think they would do.
No, they can't. No.
Well, who's going to be the top four? I can't know. We'll have this discussion. Obviously, Leeds and St Helens, we think, are there.
Leeds, Saints, Wigan, and you can't rule Warrington out. Simple as that. That's my fault.
Why can you not rule them out?
Because they're only a point off it.
And yeah, and
man for man, they're they've got quality there,
and you can't. So that's my four. Simple as that. It is, and the rest, you know, they're fighting for the 5, 6, 7, and 8.
If Todd Carney had been fit all this season, I'd have put Catalan up there as being fourth team.
I put Catalan as fourth before the season started, but what's wrong with him anyway? Todd Carney, is he injured
I think he strained a thigh muscle. You'd hope he wouldn't be far off. We've not heard for a couple of weeks how he's doing.
But anyway, Matt Wilson, yeah, you're going on about Wakefield then. Let's just look at this then. James Webster's made this statement here that you know, Sunday games at Wakefield may be going by because of you know, the short turnaround because Thursday night games. Well, at the end of the day, it's all about finances, isn't it? Surely Wakefield, if it was more beneficial to already play on Friday nights than Sunday afternoons, they would have been doing that a few years ago, Richard. Would that be correct in saying?
I guarantee whatever Mr. Carter does, he'll get a load of slagging off if he plays the games on a Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock. The problem...
financially, it must be better playing on a Sunday than what it is on Friday night.
I assume so. But
yeah, that's why
they
play Sundays.
Leeds move to Friday and get great corporate salary. And I think Michael told us last week the game against Halifax, they did good corporate sales. It being on a Friday
against Wigan as well.
It's whether you upset people who have got into a routine, and people got upset. We've waited for moving kick-off times from 3:30, which was a hangover from when the mines were open, to 3 o'clock, and people got upset about that. So whatever Wakefield do or don't do, they'll get upset about. But if
it's all about how you play on the field. It's nothing to do with the time that the games are scheduled.
I think the problem I have, Phil, about the call it unfairness. I think if you actually worked out how many games they've played in how many days, I've had the rough end of the stick. And you look at the NFL, where teams are travelling thousands of miles every week to play. If a team is on the early game the week after, they're allowed to, you know, they can amend that kick-off. They always have that rest and recuperation time. We keep banging on about player welfare in sport, in rugby league. But I tell you what, it's bottom of the list. It is bottom of the list. I know you go on, Scully, 3 games in 3 days, washed down by a Chinese and 5 pints of bitter. That's fine. But today, we keep going on about health and safety, player welfare, concussion rules, blah, 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 and yet we're making some players play 3 games in 8 days.
You're making an excuse, Matt Wilson. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
Wakefield.
You're making an excuse for them. Rubbish. They're all full-time. They've never had it better. They're pampering what they get. You're just making a poor excuse for all sportsmen nowadays. Absolute tosh, what you've just tried to tell me that. Absolute rubbish. Can't be any more honest. Simple as that.
I think the forfeit should be Gary has to present the show 1 week.
What? Yeah, that's a forfeit for me now. Yeah, I get sacked.
One of the things that would have been encouraging for Wakefield, because I still maintain it's about what you do on the field. Fans will come and watch if they feel that, you know, they'll get hopefully a good crowd on Thursday because people will want to watch Wigan. They'll want to see if this is the start of a revival. Ian Kirk made his debut, scored 2 tries. That's another body, which is important. Ben Kavanagh signed on loan. I know at the moment he can't force his way into the Widnes team, but he's a big lad and he'll you know, benefit from some game time. It's more to do, isn't it, with Wakefield about the spend. It's not to do with when they play. It's the fact that they haven't got a big enough squad. As Michael said when he was on here last week, they can't draft too many of their under-19s in because they're not ready. So they need the longest recovery time they can get because they just physically haven't got enough bodies.
Well, here's Claire on Twitter with an idea that's been mentioned before, might have been mentioned in this studio before. Have the Super League games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. Sunday's left to the Championship League.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
We'd be happy with that.
But again, it's coming to the point where, you know, is it beneficial financially for Wakefield to play Thursday, Friday, Saturdays? Obviously, it's not, because they would have moved it before now, wouldn't they, surely? That's why they're playing it still on Sunday afternoons at the home games. Unless, you know, they're on Sky and they've got to play on a Thursday night.
I'd like to see them try Saturday afternoons in the summer once the football season's finished. People who have got into the habit of watching Leeds United, Huddersfield, whatever, and are from Wakefield.
Ossett Albion,
the mighty Albion, up the unicorns. But go watch...
Move on.
Going back to something that the young lady just tweeted. Why is it, if we're serious about the Blackpool Bash being an event for the family, and we're serious about the Magic Weekend being an event for the family, do we play fixtures in alternate divisions? So why, when the Summer Bash is on in Blackpool, will Super League be playing? And why, when the Magic Weekend is on at Newcastle, will Championship teams be playing? Sometimes it's self-defeating.
And I should tell our listeners, when we're at the Magic Weekend, we'll keep you up to date with the Championship scores.
But it's nonsense, isn't it? You know, if we're serious about attracting a big audience, we've got a showcase event, then surely there shouldn't be other fixtures on that weekend. And it works both ways, for the Championship and for Super League.
It's a fair point. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that one, Scully, or are you going to get upset about that as well?
I'll agree with it totally. I'll agree with that totally, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not getting upset. I'm just making a point here. You know, with James Webster said the games are going to be finished at Wakefield, but the chairman will look at the accounts, he'll look at the balance of the books and all this sort of thing. If it was beneficial that Wakefield play on a Friday night, financially, they would have moved it a few years ago. Simple as that. But it's not financially viable for them to move the games on a Sunday, because that's where they get the crowds and that's where they get the corporate. So what I would say to James is, at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to be able to stop rugby league on a Sunday afternoon, because the chairman will say it's not financially viable for us to move our games to Friday nights. Simple as that.
So you just have
to put up with it. That's what I'm saying, Mark.
Another question. We're at nominally the halfway stage of Super League. 11 rounds of the 23, because we don't know what's going to happen after that. Are the crowds going up? I mean, we had a press release after the first week saying brilliant attendances. The new era's brought a lot of new people in. Thursday nights, we know the attendances are down. It's difficult to get kids there. Wigan Warrington was down on the corresponding fixture because it was playing on a Thursday night. Saints Leeds, 12,500. That's not going up.
Mm.
I mean, it's a bit static. Yep. 4,000 at Huddersfield. Yes, Catalan were the visitors. But that, you know, is that base core support of 4,000 going up? Probably not. Static. 5,500 at Widnes, and I'm told there was a very good cast following.
Good Castleford following. Yeah, good Castleford following.
You know, we're at the halfway stage. We can start talking about the new era. Have crowds gone up? Have people bought into it?
You know, whether, you know, Michael might be listening, we don't know, but, you know, maybe Michael might just tweet, you know, just, you know, tell us, you know, it's not viable to play Friday nights financially. That's why we play Sunday afternoons. And I'm only saying a point, what James Webster's saying, you know, you mentioned about player welfare, Mark, and what have you, you know, but at the end of the day, it's all about money and what money you could get and how you survive. And I'm afraid to say it's not going to happen for Wakefield. It's not.
Well, we'll see, won't we? The
interesting thing he said is that the development of the club is now in the hands of the supporters. That with the support level that they've got, they will not spend the salary cap. If you want them to spend the salary cap and therefore be more competitive, be towards this group in the middle rather than cut adrift, then that shortfall can't come out of his pocket. It's got to come from the fans, which basically is about another, I think, 3,000, he said, per gate. So the question that was asked right at the very beginning, even under licensing, that hasn't changed with the new era coming in, is how much do the people of Wakefield genuinely want a Super League team? And we're going to find that out this year a little bit, because they are going to be in the middle eight. And they're going to be in the middle eight because they can't spend the same as everybody else. In fact, some might say they may not even be spending as much as Lee. I know Lee, you know, nominally have got a lesser salary cap, but there might be some players that Wakefield can't get because they're on better terms at Lee. So we're going to see in the middle of this season exactly where Wakefield stand. But if they're going to be in that situation every season, it becomes self-perpetuating. If the people behind the club have done everything they can do to stabilise it, and it's only the fans that can take it to the next level, then you've got to take into account when they want to see those games played. But it goes back to the people of Wakefield.
It does. We'll come to you in a minute, Rich, because it's your club, if you like. You're the fan. You're the one that wears his hat on his sleeve, and you're the one that quite often has to come in here and try and defend what's going on. But to be fair to Michael Carter, Phil, Rome wasn't built in a day. And he came on here last week and said, if you want the team of 2012, it's going to cost you $800,000.
Yep.
You're right in what you say, but I think it's a bit of honesty. Look, this is who we are, this is where we are, and this at the minute is all we can do. It's about building from the bottom up rather than saying, all right, then I'll throw money at it. We'll still end up in the bottom four, we end up getting relegated.
No, I don't think you will throw money at it. And I think they're very, very similar in terms of size of club to Huddersfield. I think the difference is that Huddersfield have got a benefactor at the moment in Ken Davey. And Michael Carter isn't that sort of benefactor. His job was almost like, here's a hot potato, do you want to catch it? And he decided to catch it, and he's done a fantastic job in stabilising the club. But he hasn't got that level of personal resource that Ken Davey has got. So I think what he's quite honestly saying is, I can fund you up to a certain level, which makes you a bottom four Super League team. If you're serious about wanting to be in this cluster of clubs that are fighting for fourth, or may just drop out and play in the middle eight, but there's that log jam in the middle, there's not a lot more I can do, or the board as it's currently structured will do, unless somebody comes in who wants to just plough in some of their fortune. Then it's up to the people of Wakefield, because our crowds aren't big enough. Our average crowd is not big enough to sustain that extra £500,000 worth of spend. It can only come from gate money.
Wakefield Trinity Wildcats are a sustainable business in a sector which doesn't necessarily attract sustainable businesses. You look at the boycott in football this week at Newcastle United because their chairman is trying to run a business. Now, you may not agree with all of his methods, but he's trying not to put a club into debt. Michael Carter said on, I think it was Twitter or Facebook the other day, you know, if you want a successful club, you have to almost do what he is doing to put in place. You have to abide by the rules that you can't take a flask in, because that's the rules imposed on him. You have to get behind what he's doing, otherwise the club ain't going to be there in the form you want it to be. If Wakefield have to be relegated because the supporters aren't there, that's the unpalatable truth. That may well happen at the end of the season, but you would hope that Wakefield would then be on a financial footing to allow them to make an effort to be promoted through the Championship and then the middle eight next season. The concern is, as I said last week, what is Wakefield Trinity Wildcats? What is the club? Because they don't have the ground.
Is Wakefield a sporting city? Because it's the largest city in England that doesn't have a professional football team.
It's got a nice museum.
It's got a nice Hepworth Gallery. You would think that the people who are sports-minded in Wakefield would support Trinity.
It may have been a sporting city in the 1960s, but
What were the crowds in the 60s, though? What was the average gate in the 60s?
I'd have to go back and look. Not as big as
It's not huge. It's never been huge.
And you look at the other things Wakefield have had. The football club, which was transplanted from Emley, was a gamble. If they'd have been promoted to the conference when they had the chance, I think they drew with Stalybridge or something, I can't remember, then they could have built on from there. That didn't happen, and now they don't exist in Wakefield anymore. They tried to get Leeds United Reserves to play there to try and bump up crowds at Bellevue, and after you've seen one Leeds United Reserve game against Liverpool and you've seen one star player, no one really cares about reserve team football. Rugby Union, dare I mention. I, in a former life, used to cover Wakefield Rugby Union games towards the end of their life. Ironically, a club which was possibly killed off because Bradford Bulls pulled out the funding, because there wasn't any great benefit to Bradford Bulls in having a Rugby Union team which wasn't going to get up to the Premiership and wasn't going to get much funding elsewhere. They had crowds of about 200 towards the end. So there wasn't the interest there in Rugby Union, in football, and sadly there isn't interest there enough interest in rugby league, because if people want to go watch a successful rugby league team, then get on the bus, take the car down to Headingley, down to Cass.
You know what we're getting dangerously close to, though, aren't we? getting dangerously close to a debate about have we got enough resources for one very good Super League club in that area.
Whoa.
So if you want to put the news on.
Stop.
No, I think that's a debate that is going to happen.
Scoy was on this program.
I don't think it's either or. I think you can have everything. But I think it's something that the people of that Five Towns region will need to address at some stage. Because the resources isn't there for any one of them.
Police out here for 9 o'clock now, don't you?
Normally need them anyway.
I haven't said it was a good idea.
Cats fans and he's upsetting everybody.
I haven't said it was a good idea. I just said it's something that will need to be debated if you want to go to the next level.
Tell you what, Phil, can you remember the reaction when Maurice Lindsay first mentioned it when Super League came in? I'm just talking about the reaction.
That's because it's a non-starter.
It's a non-starter.
We're talking Bradford Bulls now.
It's a non-starter.
We're talking the Bradford Bulls.
It's a non-starter. Simple
good
as
man.
That.
Well said, that man. The Bradford Bulls. Unlucky, I thought yesterday. I was at the game yesterday at the Providence Stadium, and I thought they had a real good bash at Hull KR. They got in front with about 15 minutes left. They didn't deal with the kickoff, went out, bounced dead in goal, and Hull KR scored two quick tries. And after that, ran away with it a little bit at the end, but I don't think the scoreline does the Bulls justice. Scoy, the Bulls had a few missing yesterday.
I think
that gives them hope for the middle eight.
You would say hope without a doubt. But I guess the big concern is and okay, Ilkay not played the best, but they conceded 50 points. Do you know what I mean? So
they scored 30.
I'll buy into that a little bit. They scored 30, but you know, conceding 50. You know, Hull KR, from a point of view, may not play that well, and a worrying factor.
Walker should have been sent off, in my opinion. He smacked O'Brien in the face. He should have got sent off for that. I thought the referee bottled that one. And I think they got the bounce of the ball. Look, they probably won with a little bit in hand, truth be told, but they did get a little bit of good fortune along the way. I don't think Bradford are that far away, Phil, and I know you think two full-time teams, there shouldn't be too much between them.
No, I think, again, what we've seen with the Cup, we were really interested before this round of the Cup that it was almost a rehearsal for what we might see in the middle eights. I think what we've seen is Lee and Bradford, who are full-time and not a million miles away from some of the clubs that may be involved in that middle eight, and whether they can do it every week is going to be the question that we'll all be keen to see resolved. But I think the teams that are part-time are still way away from the full-time
miles
teams.
Away.
I think we saw that with, with the great respect to Halifax, who put in a great hour at Wakefield. But they were playing a Wakefield team that all the dice was loaded towards Halifax. But, again, that last 20 minutes, it finds you out. I gather that Sheffield played really well for the third quarter of the game, but actually they'd already lost it in the first half. So again, I think there was a disparity between the part-time team and the full-time team not having to play at its absolute best to win. The interesting thing for me after the game at Bradford yesterday was what James Lowe said, and that is that there is a difference between playing a good Super League team and other teams in the Championship that you can't make the sort of mistakes that you make in the Championship and get away with it. And I think that is what might find out some of these teams when the middle eights come along, that you will play to a certain level, you'll win most of your games in the Championship, but you'll make mistakes. You won't play under intense pressure for every minute of every game. You'll come up against guys like Hull KR who can turn it on, who, if you drop the ball, the chances are they've got the pace to capitalise on that.
We saw that last week. London had a lot of ball on the Bradford line scoring, but to be fair, never looked like scoring. Campese and Kelly are a slightly different threat.
Different killer fish, absolutely. And as you mentioned there, yeah, London, conservative rugby league at times, you know, North Fields, but got themselves in good field position. But when it was the time to ask questions of Bradford defence, they just came up totally short. But again, another frightening factor for me for the Bulls is I just feel as though, you know, they rely hell of a lot on Lee Gaskell, and if anything happens to Gaskell from a point of view...
Well, he went off injured, didn't he?
Did he go off injured, Mark? Did he, Gaskell?
He was holding his arm.
But if he loses
a bit of form or a bit of confidence, or he's playing with injury, then I think that's where the Bulls will struggle, because as I've mentioned before, quite a few teams rely maybe on one player too much, but certainly the Bulls rely heavily on Gaskell. They've lost their halfback number 7, aren't they?
Saika.
He's out for 10 weeks after the ankle injury last week. So yeah, if Gaskell can maintain that form, then yeah, the Bulls will be a threat. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, they will indeed. Let's catch up then. James Donaldson back against his former club, the Bulls. He might be in a little bit of trouble with the disciplinary panel as well. He kicked out Adam O'Brien in one tackle that I saw in particular. He is speaking after the game to Radio Yorkshire.
James, firstly, congratulations on the win. It wasn't easy, was it?
No, not at all. We knew it wasn't going to be an easy game when we come here. Bradford got a lot to prove, and they want to compete with these Super League teams and try and see where they're at maybe towards the end of the season when they're in that eight. But it was good to dig in and get the result at the end.
What was it like running out as a Hull KR player at Oddsall?
Yeah, it was different, but I'm a Hull KR player now, and that's all that mattered really, that I put the best performance on that I could for Hull KR. And obviously on the field there's no friends, and I had to do what I had to do for Hull KR.
You had a few run-ins with Adam O'Brien today. Was that an old friendship?
No, I get on sweet with Adam. He's a good bloke, you know, but that's what happens when you come up against old teammates, you know. There's a bit of rivalry, and some people want to get one over the others, but there was nothing there. He's a great player, and I think he went great today, really.
A potential banana skin this for Rovers, wasn't it? But you got the job done, probably with a little bit to spare at the end.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Josh Mantolino was outstanding today. He picked up some good balls to put over the line, and it was outstanding, and he carried us through that game, really. But Bradford definitely gave us a good test, and we know where we're at going into next week anyway.
And after the defeat at Castle for last week, it's important you got back to winning ways.
Yeah, definitely. We've had a problem with winning away all season, really, and Bradford, like we said, Bradford pushed us all the way then. It wasn't an easy game whatsoever, but we need to get that out of our head and start putting a performance on when it comes to away games.
A lot of people thought that Rovers had struggled just because of the number of changes they made, but like you said, at home especially, showing good form. Where do you think the team is at the minute? You think you're a work in progress still?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we've been a bit up and down, really. We need to get a bit of consistency in our games. It was nice to get the 4 points over Easter, but we've shown how good of a team we can be when we come up against these big teams. But we need to start putting that on every week now, and can't be too happy with where we're at. We need to keep building. We've got a few injuries still, and it'll be nice to have them back in the next few weeks and see what we can do when it comes to these big games coming up.
Into the last 16 Challenge Cup, dreams on, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Only three games now to the final, and I think we're definitely capable of going all the way this year. You know, we've got a great team and a great belief that we can do it.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire
with Mark Wilson.
We heard there from James Don. So let's hear from the Bradford Bulls camp. Dale Ferguson speaking to Radio Yorkshire after the defeat to Hull Kingston Rovers.
Dale, not the result the Bulls wanted, but I guess a bit of a marker as to where you're at, and the lads put up a good account of themselves.
Yeah, the boys dug in. Obviously, we're a bit disappointed with the result and stuff, but yeah, we give a good effort for 70 minutes. Obviously, died off towards the back end, but we'll fix up and back onto the league now.
When you think of who wasn't available today for the Bulls, it's got to give you great hope for that end of season, that middle eight, that you can compete with good Super League teams.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. We've got a bit pretty deep numbers in squad, and they can just come in and slot in and just do the job as the starters do. So that's what Jimmy wanted at the beginning of the year, where obviously players can slot in and slot out, and if we lose one, we get good cover. So yeah, it's good.
Looking at the performance as a whole, I mean, you're putting, you know, 30 points on a Super League team. That in itself is a good achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but we still class ourselves as a Super League team. We want to be a Super League team, and obviously if we want to be a Super League team, we need to turn up and get a good result against a Super League team.
I'm going to ask you about that bump on your head. It looks pretty nasty. What happened there?
My old mate from Huddersfield, Sean Lunt, just a little kick in the head, but one on purpose, just a little roll out and clip miss, but yeah, it's all good. Get him at rugby.
I guess looking now at the challenge we've gone for this year, it's all eyes now, all focus on getting in that top four or top of the table in the championship and going from there.
Yeah, massively. Obviously, like I said, we're out and just concentrate on the league now, and then we'll get to the Super 8, just get a bit more experience with the Super League teams, and that's when we need to pick up the wins.
You enjoying being back, running games?
Yeah, massive. Obviously, pretty bad year last year, and just glad to be back on the pitch with the boys.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire
with Mark Wilson.
So the Bulls beaten at home, but definitely confidence for that middle eight, Phil Kaplan.
I think, again, they know how hard it's going to be. They're under no illusions that Hull KR could end up in that middle eight. They could. I don't think they will, actually. I think
well, Wakefield are finishing bottom, simple as that.
It's interesting, if Catalan play to their potential towards the end of the season, somebody who's already in the top eight will have to drop out of it. I have a feeling that there still are question marks over Salford on the basis of the fact that they've got so many injuries at the moment. And
Widnes will be one of them, who'll finish in the bottom four.
But they're already there, so...
Yeah, they're
if Catalan were to come out, somebody has got to drop in. I'm not sure it's going to be Hull KR. I think they do have some real spirit about them at the moment. And I think, again, Chris Chester's making the best of the resources that he's got. And they've got some game-changing players who, when they're fit, are fantastic combination. Mantellato's a guy we haven't even barely spoken about this year, and he's been sensational.
I'll tell you what,
tries yesterday.
Wait, I tell you what, just score tries. What about his goal?
His goal
kicking?
Magnificent.
Well, he was excellent from
sensational.
It was windy as well at Oddsley. And if he was curling in
the microphone. He's like Jonathan Ferguson, just bends it in like a boomerang on a banana, whatever you want to say.
And
if
you've got a goal kicker that's good, and you've got halfbacks that most weeks are going to spark and fire, then I'm not sure they're going to finish it there. So Bradford getting close to them, you were saying, but for maybe the last 10 minutes. Yes, that's encouraging, but I think that, the important thing is exactly as Gary said it. You can't get away with conceding 50 points in that middle eight to anybody.
No.
You just can't. And what we might get is to the point where Lee and Bradford are fighting amongst each other to decide who is going to finish fifth. And then that team will have 80 minutes to see if they're good enough to play in Super League. And they might be. That might 80 minutes might be the making of them. But I think probably James Lowe's is realistic enough to know he's not going to knock a lot of Super League teams off in the middle eight. He's got to try and beat the Championship teams to put himself in the position of being fifth. And then see if his team's got 80 minutes.
Interesting, that middle eight. And this is my point, Rich. What Phil's just said there, Liam Bradford, Sheffield, Featherstone, whoever it is, could be going to Hull KR or wherever it is and think, we've got Sheffield next week, we need to win that game, we might just have to give this one up and we'll go.
Don't be saying every minute doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't.
It's strategic.
I'm not a coach of a team, so it doesn't matter to me.
It's strategic though, isn't it? You need to finish fifth.
Yeah, that's all you've got to do.
To get one chance for promotion. It'd be great if you could finish third, and then you're automatically promoted. But even if you finish fourth, you're still going to have to play in the fourth v fifth game.
Yeah.
So, actually, what you need to do is beat the teams that come up with you and then take potluck against the Super League team.
So, are we saying here that the teams are going to cherry-pick their games?
I said that right at the start.
Well, it is going to happen.
Super League teams that give up the ghost with 5-6 rounds left, thinking, right, we need to get players fit.
Well, Wakefield have given up already. We're 12 to go, haven't they? It's already been mentioned. But we don't need to go over that story again. But yeah, it's right. They're going to cherry pick the games.
You have to beat the teams that you are on a par with. You don't always have to beat the teams that are way ahead of you. So I think, yes, there'll be... Because the teams coming up from the Championship have lesser squads in terms of the amount of money that can be spent, they've got to be sparing with their resources. If Lee got three injuries to key players on the team that we saw play on Saturday, that would severely hamper them.
Well, it would any of the bottom four teams, Phil, to be honest with you, wouldn't it?
They will manage their resources win the games they need
to win.
When
we have this middle eight, do we think Lee could finish in that top four without maybe playing the £1 million game? Do we think Lee will finish in the top four?
In all honesty,
top three?
I think
they can.
And this is where, I'll get your opinion, Rich, on this. I think if Super League stays as tight as it is, there might be one or two teams that end up in that bottom four on the last weekend of the season, which will feel like they've been relegated. And I think teams like Bradford could pick them off. I am going to say, I think Lee and Bradford could go up this year. I really do.
I'm more confident in Lee going up, I am, than Bradford. I just worry for Bradford from a point of view there. Gaskell, when the pressure has been on, he seems to maybe not handle that pressure. But, hey, he's played with plenty of confidence. He seems to be happy with the surrounding at the Bulls. You wouldn't rule it out, but I would be the confident of the two teams that, Lee would be looking at the automatic promotion.
I'm thinking Lee may go up automatically, the three, if you will, and then Bradford might be in that 4-5 match.
Okay.
Be interesting.
That'll be the way to go, wouldn't it, in that playoff?
I think Lee will be in the playoff game.
Do you?
Okay.
So you don't think any of the Super League teams will go down?
I think one of them will play Lee in the 4-5 game.
Okay.
And depending on who they've got available in that game will be partly determining who will win that game. I think Lee would be capable of winning that game.
I'll tell you what as well, what is going to be fascinating, and I hate talking about him anyway because I don't want to give him any time, and that's the officials, but I'll tell you what, how much pressure is there going to be on the officials that day? Boy, oh boy.
The £1 million game.
Isn't there going to be, you know, and if you mention about, you know,
talking about... The old referee, Mr. Thomason, yesterday won't be getting a Christmas card from
Well, the pathetic out of the time, but I tell you what, though, we say about the officials now not, you know, making calls or taking, you know, making decisions what they should be doing. I tell you what, aren't they going to bottle every decision? Because the cameras are going to be there. They will not be prepared to give any decision whatsoever. They will just totally bottle it. But I'll tell you what, it will be fascinating who gets it. It will.
Our listeners who follow ice hockey will know, once you get to the playoffs, referees call nothing. Everything's free today. Do whatever you want. That's what it'd be like. It'd be great.
You make an interesting point, though, Rich. The fact that if you think Lee could go automatically,
I think
that
they
could leave us with a two Super League teams.
Well, you
in
see,
that
I hope it doesn't. It's not two Super League teams in that game, because then you are. It's a playoff for mediocrity. And the game, the famed £1 million game, Wakefield Castlewood, yeah, it's great, Wakefield won, hooray. But you're celebrating being not as bad as the other team.
I'll tell you what,
we celebrate a team being promoted through that than a team.
I'll tell you what a fix it would be, the £1 million game, if it was the Hull Derby. Can you imagine that?
I'd say that. Like,
I'm saying, could you imagine that? Could you imagine the referee? You wouldn't want a referee, would you? You wouldn't
want to be in a play at Wembley. We could do what they did at Ellen Road on Friday. You could all feel an injury on Friday night before the bus goes.
Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't want to be an official, would you? £1 million game, old derby.
I think they'll be top eight.
OKR
should be okay. I think they're
going the right way. And Hull should be. But I'm just saying here, you know.
I think Hull are in the bottom four scoring.
Yeah.
I said it at the start.
I think
they're a team. You imagine them being in the £1 million game.
That's what I'm saying. You know, can you just imagine it, the whole derby being the £1 million game?
Oh, we'll see.
Big game Friday. Hull versus Huddersfield. Live, Radio Yorkshire, 7 o'clock.
Well said, Rich, yeah. Whitfield against Wigan on Thursday. Hull against Huddersfield on Friday. And on Sunday, it's Doncaster against the Bulls. It's the Eagles against the Halifax.
I'm over there with my sandwiches. Yes, yeah. I'm over there.
Were you with Matt Orton on Sunday?
All right, what sandwich? Would you like to find out what sandwich? Because Deutsche, I took Deutsche, somebody said, Scully, I don't like a bit of tuna. I don't like ham. I thought... Don't you stop being picky and choosy.
You didn't have any sweets, though, did you? Because Craig had
me. I know, I can't. Craig Harrison, get some jelly babies for Sunday, please. Or wine gums. If there's any listeners out there, you know, Scully loves his wine gums and jelly babies. So, you know, if you like a donation.
One team who would love to be in that £1 million game are the Dewsbury Rams, who currently sit fifth in the Championship. They had a good win at Hunslet on Sunday afternoon. 31-16 winners. Their coach Glenn Morrison spoke to Radio Yorkshire after the game.
First off, obviously a nice solid win in the Challenge Cup today. Must be delighted with that.
Yeah, we're through and we've got a smile on our face, which is good. Last few weeks we've won games but felt like a loss because we still haven't been playing that well, and to be fair, today we're off what we need to be. First half especially, I would hate to see what the completion rate was there, but we played some good footy, we scored some good tries, and we got a chance to get a good draw and get a play against the Super League side and get some money in for the club.
Yeah, obviously in the cup it's all about the result at the end of the day, so you must be delighted that you kind of you grinded out in the end.
Yeah, well, we spoke about that. There's only 16 teams left in. We wanted to be one of them. I don't think Mark said that he hasn't seen them get past this round, Dewsbury, since he's been there. So it's good for us to get an extra step for him as well. We've got to see who we get. It's been good, exciting times listening in and watching to see who we get the next round.
Yeah, looking forward. Is there any team you've got in mind that you might want to come up against?
Oh, mate, anyone really. Like, it's... The teams that are left in there, they're all solid. I'd like our boys to be able to test themselves against the Super League side, like we did last year against Wigan. That's what the Cup's about, and have the underdog getting a chance to knock off one of the big guys.
Yeah, just a quick last one, sorry. Injuries today, is there anything picked up?
Matty Wild, he's split his face open pretty bad. So he's stitched up now, but he's off to hospital to have a look at it. But apart from that, everyone else come through unscathed. I thought James Delaney a Ghana young kid, came in, scored a try, did a real good job for us. So it's good positive sign for the club. We can have kids like that coming through.
Yeah. Last time we were here in March, I think you described it as the worst performance you'd seen from Juve since you were at the club. Was that in the back of your mind coming into the lead-up?
We obviously concentrate, Challenge Cup's a whole new deal, but to be fair, I think that's the only game we didn't deserve to win this year. We were a long way off the mark, very poor, and they deserved it. We wanted to show everybody what we're like, that wasn't us, to get a win sort of nullify that other result. It was good for us as a character of the club to try and get that back. Obviously we would like the 2 points as well from earlier on the doors.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire
with Mark Wilson.
Heard there from Glenn Morrison. Let's hear from the Hunslet Hawks coach. Here's Barry Eaton speaking to Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, Dewsbury had a good side. I think they're in the top four. So, we managed to squeak a win against them in round three. So, they probably had a real strong mentality today. But I thought we weren't that far off. We weren't that far off. We had some real good opportunities there in the first half. Maybe should have taken a couple more of them than we did. But again, credit to Dewsbury. You know, they scrambled really well and battled really well. But we didn't have a great start to the second half. We also didn't last week, and it's happened a couple of times. So maybe we need to have a look at that. But I just thought we gifted Dewsbury too much possession, either through scrappy penalties or fundamental errors at times. And just said to the boys in there, maybe a little bit of Easter catching up with us there. Dewsbury played over Easter as well, but you know, maybe at the back end there, you need to have better completion rate so that Easter doesn't catch up with him. Maybe that's been the case there.
You mentioned that you had the chances, but just a case of they took their chances and you didn't. Was that basically it?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think, you know, we've been held up over the line two or three times. I didn't get a penalty try over in the right-hand corner in the first half on Jimmy Watson. I just don't know. Clear head eye shot by the looks of it, as he's going over to score a try. But we didn't take the chances. Juve scored a couple of soft tries in that second half, coming back against the grid and scoring under the post, which was disappointing. But again, they have that field position because we had a little bit of lack of self-discipline to give them those opportunities.
After the league next week, big trip up to Workington. Any changes coming for that?
We'll have a look at things. You know, those. Some very good performances today, some very strong performances, but as with anything, we'll review the game and we'll go through those processes and if we feel like we need to make any changes, we'll
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire
with Mark Wilson.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Thanks to the Dewsbury Rams for forwarding that audio as well to us here. We do cover the Championship, and we're at Doncaster, Bradford, Sheffield, Halifax on Sunday, Wakefield, Wigan on Thursday, Hull FC, the Huddersfield Giants on Friday night, a full house of Rugby League action. The Championship, we're all talking about who's going to be in that bottom four, Phil. What about who's going to be in the top four? Because it's equally as tight, four teams on 10 points chasing that fourth spot at the moment. It looks on paper as though Leeds, Bradford and Sheffield are going to make three of those four places.
London.
Oh, you're kidding, Phil.
No, London.
Why do you say London?
Because they're full time, and I think the longer the season goes, the more that'll benefit them.
So Halifax, Feversham, Dewsbury playing well, you know. Yeah.
Dewsbury are at London this week, aren't they? So that's.
I tell you what, you talk about building a culture there. Glenn Morrison, certainly with his players, my son's there and he tells me a little bit, but the culture, what they've got there, everybody, comes to that, the training session, and they like the way that, Morrison man management. So I wouldn't rule out Dewsbury then, but what I've seen in London.
The cup's interesting for Dewsbury.
Yeah,
as well.
It is,
they've
yeah.
They've got an extra game now to play and another midweek one to fit in.
Well, I think, I tell you what, we're looking at, you talk about extra fixes. I will tell you, it's from my day, and players will tell you themselves personally, they prefer to play than train, I'll tell you. Don't worry about that. So just playing an extra fixer here, there and everywhere is not a problem. But I saw London.
It is, in fairness, when his team will be mending roofs and digging holes on
no, don't worry about that whatsoever. They'll get a bit of time. But just thinking with London, with the way I saw them play last week, I'm worried about the creativeness. Where
they've got some senior guys to come back, and the local talent is getting better every week. So I just think all of this added recovery time that they've got, the fact that again part time teams going to London. Is a lot different, you know. There's a hell of a journey there.
Tell you one as well. That's not going away, is it? Brian Noble joining as director of rugby, but on a part-time basis. Well, what influence would that have? To be honest with you,
I think he's there in a mentor capacity to Andrew Henderson. So he's not going to be there all day every day. I think he might be there maybe a couple of days a week, helping to organise the training, probably helping with recruitment if they need it, giving some advice on how to maybe plan his sessions. I mean, and Henderson hasn't really got an assistant. He was the assistant. So I think he just needs another body to help him with the organisation and the planning of all his training.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was my assistant at Barrow, and he works down in London, Nigel Wright. Nigel knows his stuff. He's a good coach. He's been at Wakefield. He came under the scenario at Warrington with Tony Smith. So I'm not trying to put Nobby out of a job here as director of rugby. No, but what I'm saying is, if Henderson's looking for an assistant, he couldn't do any worse to get Nigel right. I'll tell you,
Nigel should be involved, whether it's at Scholars or whether it's in the scholarship scheme. Or I think the important thing is that anybody who has a passion for rugby league in the London area, we should be using in some capacity.
Plenty of tweets coming in, Rich.
Yeah, although now I've just drifted off to memories of Nigel Wright's greatest ever performance across the road, Yorkshire Cup final 1992.
Not that again.
That's all I've got.
You wedge that in it.
Bring back the Yorkshire Cup. Bring back the Yorkshire Cup in the friendlies over Christmas, I'm telling you.
Only to be played by merged teams.
Oh. Where's the riot police out there? Not for me this week.
Here's Shawnee Boy on the topic of Sunday. He says, how about the only the four teams on telly can play Thursday and Friday? And rest play on Sunday like it used to be.
Sky don't say on a Friday they want only one game, because everyone therefore that goes to watch a game is not watching rugby on the telly.
No, I think it's proved, hasn't it, in the summer era and what have you, there's too much that distracts people, you know, quite clearly, you know, and that's why at the weekends there's too much distraction through the summer. So that's why clubs have moved to Friday nights. As we all know, you know, when we came up with summer rugby back in 1996, the big talk about it, the big debate from the poison chalice is what it was in Mr. Maurice Lindsay. The fact of the matter is, Sunday afternoons, burning sunshine, barbecues, bouncy castles, everybody's going to flock to rugby league. Nobody plays it on a Sunday afternoon anymore, because quite clearly, with the distraction of the summer, you know, we're there. That's why teams play on Friday nights, because mainly for the corporate and too many distractions. It's as simple as that.
Scarborough Pirates too far ahead of their time. We could have gone to the seaside, gone to the beach in the morning, watched Scarborough play rugby league in the afternoon. But there you go. Ruth says to many fans, a Sunday match and a pint is what they look forward to, which is fair enough.
It's only one pint.
Well, maybe two. Depends on the prices. It's £3 for a lemonade. Steve A, no relation to Steve O, says, yes, Castellans are the big underachievers, Warrington not far behind them. Chris says Hull. I'm going to assume he's a Hull KR fan. Dean says Sunday has always been a rugby day, should keep it that way. Not always. What if he used to play on Saturdays until they moved to Sundays in
Leeds
the
70s? Leeds used to play Saturdays,
it was a big controversial move as a collector of programmes. I've been reading about the big move to Sunday being very controversial for religious reasons, especially with the name of the club, but they played and that happened. Keely thinks crowds will show they are bigger on a Sunday, could spoil the atmosphere. Stuart went on Friday to support Halifax. The ground is poor. This is Bellevue. No Wakefield fans. With those facilities, they shouldn't be in Super League. Oh, dear. And people are very split on Warrington's kit for the Magic Weekend. If you've not seen it, I've tweeted a picture of it. It's interesting. Interesting, to say the least. So, if you've got an opinion on that, and then, you know, serious or frivolous in Rugby League, we like to hear from you.
That's shocking.
Great. Can I also as well, can I just say, we're talking about Sunday Rugby League, aren't we? What a great start by the Keighley Cougars. You know, they want to get more people down there. Great start for Keighley, top of the league. And I know myself, we're doing the hosting down there, the hospitality, and the atmosphere is great.
Big game this weekend, North Wales Crusaders, pal.
Big game, yeah. Well, unfortunately, I'm working for Radio Yorks this week, so I'm not there this weekend, but spoken to Simon Harrison.
I'm available if needed.
Simon Harrison, the commissioner. I think John Helm is stepping in, I'm led to believe, yeah. So John's a very big rugby league man. I think he's a big Bulls fan, so John's stepping this weekend, but yeah. Great start by the Cougars, and get yourself down there for a great atmosphere.
Yeah, should be a decent game, that North Wales They're not won yet. Have they drawn one, lost one?
They had a good win, though, Keithy, this week. Because I think Newcastle are one of the teams that you really need to keep an eye on. And the rebuilding they've done there with the Papua New Guinean contingent, I think they're serious about trying to get out of that division. So to win quite convincingly away at Newcastle, again, an encouraging crowd. If it's, you know, rounded up, you always wonder if that is the exact crowd. But 750
Phil, what are you trying to say?
It's always funny, like, exactly. Look, 580 at Rochdale.
580 is a bit wild.
Isn't it your sweets as well? You're in the bad.
I tell you what, you mentioned Craig Allison over a lot tonight, Mark Wilson.
Has he pitched your sweets? All these players.
Does he look after a Billy Compton?
Well, hold on, he bags all about his players, and at times, you know, they're not as good as what he thinks they are. That's what I'll say.
Alright, no worries.
Has he come in yet, Craig? Has he tweeted in?
It's only 3 minutes to the news.
Don't miss the
news. Forget this one, we're here for another hour. So I don't mind it,
I'll stay for another hour. It's great, I'll stay for another hour.
I'll save my big talking point tomorrow.
Well, I don't think the listeners will want to hear me for another hour, will they?
Well, if a Cass fan, they switch off at half time.
In fairness, here's Colin, who is a Cass fan. Scully spot on again.
Colin, thank you very much
Let
for your respect.
I can only
call it what I see, and it's as simple as that.
He was asking about your comment about Daryl Clark. Said you've got to let the shackles off him.
Well, you've got to do. Oh, there's no two ways about it. And unfortunately for the kid, it's not a criticism as a rugby league player. He's a quality rugby league player, but he's just been not allowed to do as he does and what he does best in rugby league field. It's as simple as that.
Quick one then. We've got four live games. Wakey Wigan Thursday. Rich, you'll be going for a home win there, I'm sure.
Without a doubt. Wakefield by 18.
All right, what about Hull Huddersfield?
Wakefield by 18? Have you been on,
he's been
have
on
you,
that 11 years.
Have you been on them white gums, Richard Shaw? Wigan by 24.
Hull Huddersfield.
Yeah, Hull showing a bit of form, a bit of confidence. They're getting a few players back. It's Hull by 14 for mine.
Phil?
Interesting. I think Huddersfield, as I said earlier in the programme, this is the defining part of the season for Huddersfield. If they are going to get in the top four, if they're seriously going to have a good cup run at Headingley, they need to start putting some form together. I think that's one that they need to win.
Rich?
Huddersfield by 6.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield win that one. Leeds, Warrington, Scully.
Yeah, Leeds looking for revenge. Leeds are in cracking form, plenty of confidence, and I'll tell you what, Leeds for mine by 24.
Okay.
Can't see it being that wider margin. I think Leeds have got a point to prove on the basis of the fact that this is the one game where they've let themselves down this season. They'll want to right that. But again, Warrington are getting towards that stage where they've got to put some form together. This could be the night that Daryl Clark is let off the leash.
Put an odd number here. Leeds by 9.
Okay.
By 9?
I think Leeds will win by more than 2 scores. Let's have a quick look then at... can Hull KR go to the Dragons and win on Saturday?
Without a doubt, and they say, you know, Catalans will make it a fortress, but yeah, Hull KR can go there. If he's going to surprise this weekend, it could be them. Hull KR by 7.
Okay.
No, I think Catalan will win that.
All right. Rich?
Draw.
Draw.
Salford Cass.
He has been otherwise.
Salford Cass, come on, quick.
Salford Cass, yeah, Salford, too many injuries, no injuries, suspensions. Castleford, they'll get the right attitude, get the right commitment. Cass by 9.
Yeah, well, Castle win. Ryan Bailey to debut.
10.
Cast by 10. Very good. That's it. Another 2 hours of rugby league has flown by. We're live at the Rapid Solicitor Stadium on Thursday night, Wakefield against Wigan. Then on Friday, we're live from the KC, Hull against Huddersfield. And then it's Doncaster, Bradford, Sheffield, Halifax, a doubleheader from the Championship on Sunday. We're all off to buy Scully some more sweets so we can stop picking on Craig Harrison's players.
Radio Yorkshire, your home of rugby league on DAB. Online via the TuneIn app.